What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? Welcome back to the show. If this is your first time joining us, thanks for checking us out. I appreciate it. Subscribe, hit that bell so you get a notification. We're up every Friday. If you're looking for anything about my touring and all that jazz, AndrewSantino.com is going to have all the information. I've said this before, I'll say it again. We're rescheduling as much as we can, and we're sorry. COVID is messing it all up. We have nothing to do with it, dude. We're doing our best. But you can also go there and find our Patreon. That's where I'm putting up one-on-one whiskey, gins, chats, Cheeto chats, all sorts of stuff. And we're trying to create way more content for the Patreon there at AndrewSantino.com. Can take you to the link, as well as our merch page. We're updating our merch. We're working on it right now, which I'm super excited about, to put out some new merch. For now, you can still get the Red Rocket gear there. There's sweaters and hats and t-shirts and everything at AndrewSantino.com. Can redirect you to all the things you need to know. This week's guest is Cody Coe. This dude is very, very funny, extremely talented. He's all over the interwebs. And a great show called The Real House Bros of Simi Valley is extremely funny with Jimmy Tatro, who is very funny. They create a very hilarious show about the bro atmosphere of a very particular part of Southern California. I'm excited to bring this to you, kids. Enough from me rambling on. Enjoy the episode. Hey, Whiskey Ginger fans, summertime is right around the corner, dude. Summertime. And you got to have yourself some sunglasses. That's why I recommend Shady Rays. I love Shady Rays. I've talked about them before. They are so dope. They're high quality for far less than these expensive brands that you're going to end up breaking or losing. And also, it's the best warranty in the sunglass industry, because if you break them or lose them, they will send you a new pair, which I think is phenomenal. It doesn't matter why. They just go, here you go, bro. Here's some new shades. Shady Rays also, they give 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every single order. So they're really doing their job trying to keep this place better. I love them because I do lose a lot of sunglasses. They get lost or broken, or I give them to people, even though I'm not really sharing a lot right now. But I do like to do that. If someone's like, I need a pair of sunglasses, I like to keep a few on me. You know, throw arounds. Who wants to buy a super expensive pair of sunglasses they're going to lose or break or drop in the ocean or a pool or leave at a party when you're drunk? It's not worth your time. Shady Rays does all sorts of cool stuff, including get you some polarized sunglasses that make everything look very nice outside during the summertime. Do yourself a favor and go to ShadyRays.com. Buy one, get one free. Use the code WHISKEY for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. That is an incredible deal. Go to ShadyRays.com. You can find all their newest and best shades. Use the promo code WHISKEY for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com.
In here, we pour whiskey.
Who are that creature in the ginger beard?
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again. Today, it's Cody Coe. What up, dude?
What's up, man? Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. I was kidding, by the way. You look
no,
trim.
You said, before we started the show, Cody said I was fat. And that's fine, dude. That's how you feel.
I said you look like a muffin man, like a pastry boy.
Do you know the muffin man? The muffin man?
I know the mustache man.
Yeah, you look good with your little stash.
For sure. You like it?
It's funny because you have like a boyish face, but it makes you look a little bit more manly.
That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to age myself up a little bit. I'm almost 30. I feel like I got to look the part.
How old do I look? You're not going to hurt my feelings.
48.
Wow.
No, 36.
That's it for the show. That's the rest of the show. Thanks a lot,
thanks
guys.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, brother.
Take care,
dude. I'm 36. I'm 36 and I'm a broken man. I'm a dad. I feel like a dad. I feel like I'm in dad mode. I'm not a dad yet, but this is a dad country hat.
I was going to say the apparel, the look right now, the aesthetic
This is a shitty dad shirt. I'm wearing, you know, shorts and flip-flops because it's hot out.
Looks like you're about to go work anymore. In your shop.
I'm going to go work in the shed. I'm going to go to the shed, grab a couple of tools.
Yeah, some tools, do some work around the house.
And do that thing where I yell into the house to my wife to bring me something. She inevitably will bring the wrong thing and I'll get mad and yell at her. No, I said a Phillips head. God.
The Allen key.
The Allen's keys. Allen's car keys.
Uncle Allen.
Did you have a dad like that? Did you have a very like papa like where he's like a works with his hands and all that stuff?
No, not at all. Well, no. So my dad is like he's like what's the word? It's like a jack of all trades sort of, but like he was an artist and then he was a graphic designer. And then he was like an entrepreneur, and then he switched to doing Ironmans and triathlons and ultra marathons. And so
for money. He just does that. He did that for fun, right?
Just for fun. But I'm saying he's done a lot of shit like that. He was never, like the work on the house during the weekends type dude. He was always like building bikes to break world records and crazy shit like that.
Did he break records? Has your father broken records?
Yeah.
Seriously?
He broke three world records, I think. The first one was furthest distance traveled by human power in 24 hours. So he designed like a recumbent bike, which is like a sit-down bike with a shell over top of it. And he rode it around a track for 24 hours straight. So he traveled the most amount of miles that anyone's traveled just by their own power of their own body. No motor, no nothing.
How many miles was it?
I should know that. I don't know it.
Good
I forget.
Son. Good
yeah,
son.
I know.
A good
I know.
Son.
I should know that.
Your
sure.
dad broke a fucking world record.
And then he did it on water.
How far.
And I don't know that one either. But I
what a shitty kid. What a shitty kid.
I know, Dad. I'm sorry if you're watching this. I'm going to go to your Wikipedia
he's not,
after.
He's not. He's not.
I am sorry.
He checked out. What's your dad's name? What's his name?
Greg.
Hey, Greg. Dear Greg, if you're watching this, your son is a nice kid. But obviously a bad son. And we know that. And if you ever need to talk to me, come on Whiskey Ginger. We'll hash all that stuff out. You got athleticism from your father because you were an athlete, right? What was it? Water polo?
No, diving. I wasn't cool enough for water polo. Are you kidding me?
You do have the DNA you have the physical look for water polo. You got smooth skin. You're a good looking guy. Every guy that plays water polo is good looking. There's no ugly guys that play water polo.
I know.
Why?
What is that? All the hottest dudes in fucking Calgary, where I'm from, they were all water polo. Who plays water polo in Calgary?
I'll give you what I think it is. The best, it's a rich sport. Water polo is a rich guy sport because it's not that you have to be rich to play it. It's that it only takes place in rich communities.
Mm.
So you got to have a pool, first of all. So it's got to be in warm climate. And rich communities are the only schools that are allowed to have that kind of access to also having a pool, whether it's indoor or outdoor. Hence, Southern California, any warm weather place, or northeast, northwest, but very big money, right? They're not putting pools in fucking public schools in bad neighborhoods. So you got to have money. People that usually come from money usually want to sleep with someone else who's hot. Hot guy has money, you know, or ugly guy has money, gets with hot girl, makes a good looking kid, water polo.
And it's, it's kids who like can't fight in real life, so they fight underwater with their legs.
They kick each other.
Yeah, just
I was astonished to learn that you can kick each other in the nuts. That's totally legal.
Yeah,
you can't pull on the penis, which is my first move. I would tug on it like a toilet chain, you know, like the old toilit chain. I'd pull on a penis underwater.
Like jerk a guy off in the middle of the. How's that throw off your game, huh? You like
that's
that?
Right. We're winning. Yeah, we're beating you guys. Good. Santino, you can't just jerk off the competition in the water. Oh, really, coach? Because we're winning 6-0.
I
know what I'm doing.
Did we win, coach?
Yeah. Did we win?
He's
take
like,
a
God,
lap.
God damn it, we did. You're right.
That's going to be my 30 for 30, my last dance. You know, my last swim documentary is going to be about me. It's like, look, was he tough to play with? Yeah, he would jerk off the competition, and he wouldn't stop until they came, and that's what made him a true competitor. And show me like after hours, it's nighttime. I'm still jerking off some guy, and I'm like, nah, I'm not letting this go until it's over.
You know how Michael Jordan used to like anytime someone was like trash talked him a little bit, it was like big mistake. That's when he would turn on and win the fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just picturing one of the other guys being like, I bet you can't make me come. Shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have said that. He made me come harder than anyone's ever made me come.
It cut back to me in the chair going, me drinking like this, like a Perrier, just being like, he said I couldn't make him come. And we all remember how that went.
Big mistake. Shouldn't have said that.
Cut to him filling the pool with cum. He's by the way, if your parents were watching, I'm sure they're not sticking around anymore for this episode.
Yeah, probably not.
It's fine. Yo, you were a competitive diver and you dove in college?
Yep.
What do we call it? Do we call it university or college up in Canada?
It's university in Canada.
Why?
But I went to an American school, so college.
I know. Yeah, I know that. But why do they call it university up there? They do that in Europe, too. I don't get that.
Yeah, it's uni. I don't know. I have no idea. College is a term that's reserved for, like, community college in Canada.
So that's less than in Canada.
Yeah. It's like the starter school or whatever.
That's very diminutive. I like that. You're a college boy. You went to Duke, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're a Duke boy.
Yep. I went to Duke.
You look like a Duke kid, don't you?
So what is it? Water polo or is it a Duke boy? Or just like look like a shitty white dude?
It's both. Yeah. I didn't say shitty. I complimented your looks at the beginning of this. I said you're a good looking guy. Does Duke have a lot of ugly people? No. Did you see a lot of ugly... Was there anybody like me on campus? Did you see a bright, orange-headed, see-through kid on campus walking around? No, you didn't, did you? So you know what I'm saying, don't you?
No, there was a couple... No, you know what? Now that you mention it, yeah. Nobody.
Uggos.
No Uggos.
That's the on the Duke application form. It says, no. Remember, dude, no Uggos. There was actually a rumor...
Are you ugly? And you have to check it. Oh, damn it. I'm ugly. I can't.
Damn, I'm ugly. There was a rumor that I went to Arizona State and people said, you have to send in your photo when you apply. And they were like, and they judge you based on your photo. And that's how you get in, which is obviously a bullshit. But I was like,
that's just like a joke.
Because it's a bunch of hot chicks from Southern California go there that are morons.
Right, right.
Every dumb chick from Southern California goes right to ASU because they can't get into USC. They definitely can't get into UCLA. They can't get into Pepperdine. They can't get into UCSD. UCSB they can't even get into. And then if they really are desperate, they can't get into like UC Bakersfield or something. Then they trickle down to ASU with me. And we got those chicks. We got the chicks that were. And as far as dudes goes, a lot of dumb guys. But I feel like the girls were exponentially dumber because it was just so they could sit by the pool and not really go to school. Dudes went there to party.
And is that girls true? Like, what were classes like? Was it hard ever? What was your major?
Journalism and English. Every classroom had a retractable roof so you could get some sun while you were chilling in econ.
Off.
Yeah, dude. And you'd get sunscreen on the way in. Me. No, every class was, it was like any other school. It was just, many people took ASU as an opportunity to not really go to school. Like, mm-hmm. I graduated in 4 years. Many of my friends, if not all of them, didn't graduate at all. Mm. I have a buddy that went to school for like 9 years. He might still be doing it. I have no idea. He went to like 5 community colleges around the way. He didn't care. He was just hustling, taking his time. But I didn't have the luxury. I didn't come from enough money where it was like, my mommy and daddy would have paid for so many years. That wasn't going to happen for me. So yeah. I had to be in and out. I was like, I can't do this. And also, the partying gets a little old by the end of your senior year. You're like, I want to go live a human life. Like, mm-hmm. I never understood guys that want to party 6 years of college. You're like, are you okay? You didn't get it done?
Because it's a very intense form of partying. It's like partying is the main thing for a lot of people that go to college.
Yeah.
I mean, senior year, yeah, I was like, it was nonstop.
You were ready to get out.
Yeah, for sure. And then I got out. I moved to the Bay Area and I lived alone. None of my friends moved to the West Coast. Everyone, like Duke back then was like a pipeline into New York. Everyone went to like work in finance in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I was the only one that went to work in tech on the West Coast. I had no friends. I lived in Palo Alto as a 22-year-old by myself. I was so fucking lonely. And so after 2 years of that, I was like, fuck it. I gotta party again. It just came, like the craving came back. So I quit and my friend and I traveled. We did like the backpacker thing in Southeast Asia and we lived in Australia for like 6 months or something like that. And it was just like, we were working on like software projects and stuff like that. But honestly, mostly just partied around the world for a little while.
Drugs or just drinking?
Just drinking for the most part. We did some whippets in
fucking... The way you said that's so funny. We did some whippets.
Yeah, we might have dabbled in some whippets.
Yeah, dude, I used to love whippets. Man, nitrous is fun to do, huh? But you, for lack of a better term, you become fully, you become mentally handicapped. You really do.
Yeah, I mean, you're not there.
You put your brain in a... There's no oxygen in your brain.
Yeah, you're like literally just giving, you're starving your brain of oxygen to the point where like you're high for 30 seconds. And then you come back to life and you're like, that was weird as fuck. Let's do it again. For some reason, it's like the most addicting thing ever. It's really weird.
Yeah, and it's not even that fun. It's not that good.
It's
like,
fun.
It's fun. It's fun, but it's not fun like other drugs are fun.
Yeah.
Like it's not mushrooms fun. Have you ever done DMT? I sound like Joe Rogan. You ever done DMT?
Mushroom, that shit is awesome. Coffee, DMT? No, never done it.
DMT is awesome. I will say it's super. I know it's like very Rogan-esque, but it's like it is fun. I've done it only twice. It's crazy.
Did you have like any epiphanies?
Yeah, I did actually. And I saw a being, a thing that said two things: kill your family and get Cody Ko on the pod. And boom, boom, did him. No, dude, I'm not.
Good. How recent was the family killing? Is this a
6 or 7 weeks ago? But they're never going to find out.
Okay.
I had kind of like I had a spiritual experience, but not really religious. But it was more eye-opening as far as like me becoming more comfortable with my position in life, so to speak. Right? Like all the internal struggles that you're having as far as like, I'm trying to make a baby right now, touring, comedy, like where my career is shifting, like all the anxieties that like sit right below the surface that kind of stew, whether or not you acknowledge them, you kind of have like a moment of flashbang, boom, when you're on it, of a little bit of clarity over like what's important and what's not. Whether or not it's coherent to you, it's pretty wild, dude. I don't know how to explain it. It's really for you. Do you know what I mean? Like it's really like a... It's a you feeling. It's a you drug. It's not a party drug. It's not like a. I'm not at the middle of like a. You know, like you can't go to like somebody's house party and just and do DMT. You and try
no,
to funk.
No DMT at ASU at the ASU frat parties.
No, but a lot of mushrooms. I did a lot of mushrooms at ASU. I loved mushrooms. It's what helped me get to ASU. I did mushrooms on the back of what was going to be my future dorm with my buddy. At peanut butter jar, we were scooping peanut butter out of a jar and just dipping mushrooms in there, and we got just absolutely destroyed. I mean, it was the most fun night I've ever had in my life, and honestly, it was like the reason I went to that school. I wanted to get to California, and I couldn't afford it, so that was the truth. But I spent the majority of college trying everything. So then, by the time I got out, I didn't really want to do a lot of stuff. Like I knew a lot of people in their mid-20s that got into into trying a lot of drugs. And I kind of was a little over it by the time I was 22, 23. When I moved to LA, I had done a lot of what I wanted to try in college. I mean, I also did a lot in high school. So like by the time I got to college, even I was a little bit more balanced with drugs, which was weird because I would get fucked up with somebody and be like, whoa, dude, they can't handle it. It's because they've never done it. You know what I mean? And if you've done stuff before with people and you've had a couple of moments of ups or downs, you know how to handle it in the future, whether it's negative or positive. Dude, I used to do, this is a really weird, I used to go to a guy's house to go smoke pot and or take any drugs in high school. And both of his parents were deaf. And I swear to God, I know this sounds like a Theo Vaughn story. Both of his parents were deaf, dude. But, straight up, his parents were both deaf, and sometimes his dad would like come into the room when we were getting fucked up, and I was always like, man, does a deaf dad reprimand you? You know what I mean? Like, does he ever? Because we got
like he can't hear us. He can't hear us, and it's like you can see you doing drugs. Yeah. We're just doing drugs in front of him.
He can't hear us.
He can't hear us.
He doesn't hear.
Listen, dad, hey, check it out, I'm doing drugs. He can't hear us.
Yeah, dude, it was just such a weird, and he let that, the parents didn't care, and he would walk in sometimes, and we'd be ripped out of our mind. I'd be so high, and I used to do whippets over there,
whippets.
And I'd be so baked, and he would sit on the floor and just sit around us and stare and smile, and I would say to my buddy, I'd be like, is your dad, like, is he just, like, staring at us because he's not happy about what's going on? He's like, no, he loves to feel the music. So because we'd have music playing all, you know, and he would sit on the floor so he could feel the bass. And he would say it sometimes. He'd like, he would point to the ground and be like, I like this. Like, I like this. And I was like,
this oh, one's a slapper.
Yeah. He's like, this shit hits. This shit hits hard, dude. This is hard.
Who is this, Drake?
But no, he would sit, in the room and watch us get, that was the weirdest parent drug interact. And, but moments like that where I would have like bad, if I was like on a bad high and I was at that house, I would have these wake up calls like, why am I ripped in this deaf guy's dad's house out of my mind?
That's kind of a trip.
It was very, and his brother was handicapped. His brother was mentally disabled, and his brother would teach us these tricks that his parents used. Like, do you know what IP relay is? I think I've told this story before. Do you know what IP relay is? IP relay is like if a deaf person, this was back in the 90s when somebody wanted to make a phone call, they would type on a computer and IP relay would be the person that would call whoever you want to talk to, and they would have to say whatever you type. So if I typed on a computer, eat my ass, you'd be on the other line and the person would go, eat my ass, go ahead. And then you would tell them what they would type back to you. This is before instant message or any of that stuff. And so we would use IP relay on prank calls. We'd prank call Pizza Hut and IP relay, you know, we'd be like, I want, you know, a large pepperoni pizza and also go fuck yourself. And legally, these people
and
have
there's somebody on the other line saying that to Pizza Hut. Dude. And he reads that and he's like, and go fuck yourself. I'm sorry. Yeah.
They have to. Legally, they have, because IP relay was a government service. So they weren't allowed to edit what was transposed. So you could say anything. You could have phone sex with somebody.
Dude.
So fucked up. We're such bad kids. Dude. That was a mean piece of shit.
Yeah, you're calling me a bad kid.
You were a bad kid, though.
Bad son.
Bad son.
Yeah.
So I skipped heavily over. We're already deep into this, and I've skipped over so many different things.
Wait. Can I tell you? Or wait, are you changing the subject?
I just want to say how we know each other and who you are to me.
First, I have a deaf parent related thing. I just want
to
tell you about a funny TikTok that I saw. I feel like we're at the point now where we can talk about funny TikToks.
Yeah, TikToks are fun. Let's talk about them.
It was a daughter giving her mom a pair of AirPods for her birthday, and her mom opens it, looks at it, and goes, and sort of like half smiles, and the camera turns to the dad, and the dad looks at it and goes, ugh, and then he starts signing to the daughter and like says some shit that doesn't, because they're both deaf, both of the parents.
That's a good TikTok.
Oh, I felt so bad for laughing at that.
No, dude, you know what? There's so much stuff. I just got on there. I'm having a friend help me run it, and he's just putting up old clips. I can't make a new TikTok. I'm 36. I don't think, I think if I try to do like a mirror wipe TikTok, people will be like, this guy is an asshole. So they're just putting up old stand up.
You know the trends, though. You know the trends.
I see it, dude. I open it up once in a while, but I can't follow it, though. It really doesn't land with me. Like, I get why people like it, but I just put up old stand up bits so that a younger generation can go, oh, cool, you know, whatever. But
are they working?
But
on TikTok?
Some of them, dude. Yeah. Honestly, it's weird.
It's great.
One of the videos we put up of me and Bobby Lee has like 4 million views.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very weird how that works out. But like, anyway, I've talked about this bullshit TikTok before on the show, but the thing that blows my mind about it, truly, is when people will put up like rape stories or like domestic abuse stories on there. Have you ever seen those?
No.
That shit's. No, you've never seen that?
No, but it doesn't really surprise me. They're like, some of the shit I've come across on TikTok is like, and it'll be like shit on your For You page or whatever that has 2 likes. And you're like
how did
10 people have seen this, including me. And it's like some dark ass weird video. And you're how is this even being recommended to me? Like
it's creepy. It's really like, there was a girl I watched her, and then I was like, God, is this like a thing? And then it showed you that other girls had, like, a woman held up a shirt. This is not funny. A woman held up a shirt with blood on it and was like, this is the shirt I was in the night you,
oh Lord,
like beat me. Yeah, dude. And then she showed images of her after she was abused. And I was like, is this for you? Who is this for?
Yeah.
Like, why is this on my For You page? Like, I don't, this is not, I'm, speak your truth or whatever. But also I was like, it's really hard to fucking look at. I was like, I don't want to see some horrible bloody shirt, this poor girl. But anyway, I jump on and off of it. Once in a while I'll look at it, but it's not for me. You're good at it.
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah,
I got a tweet from someone the other day being like, oh man, it's such a shame that Cody's TikToks aren't funny.
Who said that? What's his name? Who said that?
His name was Garrett. No, I'm kidding. I don't know.
Hey, Garrett. Hey, Garrett, come see me. What if you beat the shit out of someone because they made fun because you said that you had a bad TikTok?
Yeah. And Your Honor, I'd fuck him up. TikToked it. TikTok beating the shit out of him.
Yeah. TikTok beating out. Yeah. That's what you get, dude. Yeah. Who's funny now? On TikTok. So I'll back it up. The way I know you, I should describe for people that don't know who you are. You are I don't even know how to do this anymore. A multimedia comedic personality, right? You act. You're online doing. You have a podcast. You have a group. I don't even know what the proper term is.
I'm just kind of like an online bad boy.
Oh, yeah. Online bad boy. Cody's a bad boy.
Yeah.
No, but you've done some great shit. Truly, like I've said this to you before, but I think the Real Bros of Simi Valley is a great show. It's a Facebook show, right? It's Facebook only or no? Yeah.
Facebook Watch.
Yeah,
that's such a fun show, man. That's all thanks
to funny.
Christian and Jimmy. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very funny, man. Yeah. For people, if you haven't seen it, please go watch it. It's very funny. It's a Facebook Watch show. It's basically about a bunch of bros from a very specific Southern California culture, Simi Valley, and it's lifted trucks and tats and backwards flat rim hats. And once you get it, you got it. But it's really good, man. It genuinely, it's very, very funny. And it's odd because you're a good looking guy, you know, like I've said before here, but on the show, you look so ugly. You're very ugly on the show. What if I just ripped you? I was like, you're the ugliest person on that show. It's really sad. See, no, but you're great on there. And you also have the Tiny Meat Gang, which is, of course, very self-aggrandizing. The Tiny Meat Gang crew. I had known who you were, seen your stuff, and had heard of you. And then I sat next to your girlfriend on a flight to Montreal, and she was editing something. And I don't even know how the conversation got started, but she was basically like, oh, I'm going to see my boyfriend. Are you a performer? I said, yeah. Who's your boyfriend? I would know And she said, Cody, him and his friends have this Tiny Meat Gang. She was like really shy about saying it, which is funny making your girlfriend call your group the Tiny Meat Gang.
So funny.
But it was really good. It was very funny to me. I started laughing.
She's like, it's a joke, by the way. It's a joke. I mean, it's like, it's ironic, right?
No, he's got a regular meat. He's part of a regular meat gang. Yeah. But the tiny is a joke. Yeah. Yeah.
the medium she meat
was,
gang.
She was very shy about it, but at some point she got over it. I was like, no, I get it. I know who it is. I know who he is. And after that, we connected, and I had said to you, I wanted to get you on the podcast, and you, of course, said yes, as long as I can plug my new OnlyFans page.
My new OnlyFans.
Do you want to plug your OnlyFans page?
Yes, my new. Hit me up on OnlyFans, guys. It's just me. It's a gaming clips, honestly. It's me playing video games. I figure I might as well make an OnlyFans. You know, I might start the trend to make it not so sex focused. You know, it's a lot of sex, a lot of body parts and whatever. I want to make OnlyFans kind of like, you know, anything. Cooking clips, video game stuff. Huh. So that's what I do on OnlyFans. And so then I do show my dick and balls on there as well. No, I do mix nudity in, but it's tasteful.
Okay. Cool. So go to Cody's OnlyFans page. And what does that cost? I don't even know. I've never been on there.
It's just $64 a month, but it's like unlimited, you know, pictures and whatever I upload on there, you get access to. So it's like, you know, I had a great snipe the other day on Call of Duty, and then I posted a picture of my dick laying on the controller. So $64 will get you both of those. Yeah.
And can you keep those photos, or do I have to get, like, can I download them and keep them personal? I mean, can a fan, if they wanted to, not me, but if somebody else wanted to download them,
right?
Could they?
You could, yeah. It's another upsell. You have to upgrade to premium for that, but
when you say you mean they could, whoever wants to join.
Yeah, you or I'm whoever.
Not me. Okay. I'm not gonna. I don't need to. Unless
seems like you're interested, but yeah,
No, I'm not. Do you do promo codes for fans or anything? Just if they can get a discount or something. Is there a promo code?
Whiskey 15.
Oh, Whiskey 15 is going to be the promo code for your OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. So I took a guess at
your promo code for your, is that what it is? Whiskey 15? Is that what they make it?
It's just whiskey. It's just whiskey. Just for whiskey. Any of the promo Damn codes, it. It's always just going to be whiskey. Yeah. But 15 is good. I get that because that's the kind of, that's the age of boys that I like. So let me transition into something very normal. No, that's too young. 16 or 17. I like it, right? By the way, I just reread a new article about, speaking of my alma mater, a woman in Arizona was finally charged with, I can't remember her name, but it came up in the paper again. She was charged with having sex with one of her students who was 13, this is the craziest part, a new development was another student watched, just sat there and watched.
Oh, that's a new angle.
Yes, I've never heard of that version.
On the classic teacher sleeps with student case?
I know. We've heard the teacher sleeps with student before, but I've never seen a guy voyeuristically cuck. I've never heard a teacher student cuck story, you know?
Yeah, that's, but I liked it. Getting started early on the cucking. I feel like that usually develops later in life, but not for that kid.
Right. What if that kid was just staying after to work to like do some extra work and finish something before he was like, I don't, you know, I'm going to miss the bus anyway. I might as well work in the classroom. And the teacher just starts fucking this other student, and you're like, "That's fine."
And he's like,
"I need to finish this. Like, this is due he's tomorrow. Like,
is this extra credit? If I watch, will is that an extra grade point?" Like, dude, it always makes me laugh. Yeah, it always makes me laugh. Like, it's so stupid, but like the memes where it'll show like a picture of the teacher whenever it's like teacher sleeps with student, and the teacher is like old and not good looking. And the meme is like, man, they should arrest the kid too. That always makes me laugh.
But it's funny because most of those teachers are so good looking now. Like I've admitted, I don't know if it's pot or if it's years of alcohol abuse, but I don't have a good memory long term. My short term is incredible, but my long term is shit. I don't remember one hot teacher. Did you have hot teachers when you were young?
Yeah. Okay. So I had one. Get this.
Yeah.
Her name was Miss Dick. D-Y-C-K.
No.
Miss Dyke? Swear to fucking God, dude. Miss Dick. Pronounced Dick.
D-Y-C-K. But
spelled Miss Dyke. D-Y-C-K. Dyke. She was my English teacher in ninth grade. And she was smoking hot.
You're
hot. Every kid.
Every day.
I mean, her name is Dick.
Yeah, you gotta. Why wouldn't she change that? Why wouldn't she change that and just go by something else? You don't have to have your legal name. I never understood that. Why do teachers use their legal names? What's the difference? In school, just be Miss Martinez, and when you go home, be Miss Cock. You know what I mean?
Like they have stripper names.
Yeah.
I'm Miss Mercedes.
But that would make more sense than the Dick Lay. Like we had a teacher... I've just forgot her name now. It was like Rodenbaum anytime there's a long name, kids are going to make fun of it. Like, you know, Rodenballs or Rodenbuttbalm or like, you know what I mean? Kids are just going to find a way to throw shit in there.
Yeah.
And
Rodenballs.
And I remember, I remember thinking when I was young, like, why wouldn't you just be like Miss Lisa or like whatever your first name was, you know, like Miss Mary? Like, I never understood if you have a shitty name, why would you tell kids? Don't you know that kids are going to take any liberty at all in making fun of your name? That's why when people name their kids something stupid, I'm like, did you not go to school? Do you not know that they're going to make fun of your kid?
Yeah.
Because his name rhymes with anus, you know, how do you not know that? Like,
anything that vaguely rhymes with anything dirty, nix it.
Yeah, and it can't be.
Yeah,
like you can't be like, yeah, this is my son Rifkin. You're like, great, and he's fucked. He's never gonna last. Your son Rifkin is gonna be. That's over. Like my, I'm not gonna say the names, but someone in my neighborhood, his kids have the most ridiculous names. And I want to be like, you know, that kid's going to he's going to get made fun of.
Yeah.
He's going to get mocked, and it's your fault. You picked it.
Yeah.
So now either he has to go by a nickname, you know, he has to be like AJ or Jax or his middle name or whatever, or he's going to get mercilessly mocked.
Like this is my son Ligma.
You should just name your kid the thing, not the thing. Like if it rhymes with it, just name your kid Schmegma. That way you get it out of the way.
Yeah.
That way they're like, yeah, it's Schmeggy. Then it becomes a term of endearment, you know?
There's a F1 driver that Noel was telling me about. His last name is Bottas. It's Bottas, but like pronounced in a British accent. It's like Bottas. And he was like, the announcers just never do him any favors. They're like, and Bottas rounds the corner. Just Bottas. It's like the funniest fucking shit.
And here comes Bottas, and he once again leading the pack. Bottas, he came in from the rear, and Bottas is scooping towards the front. And by the way, something about when a British person says a half cuss word, it's always funnier.
Yeah.
When they say ass or butt or like...
That's why bloody is so funny, because bloody is like not really a curse word, but it's so funny.
It means like... it's like if you use fucking as an adjective when you're like, oh, and they were fucking, you know, it's like a throw-in.
Yeah.
Bloody is the same way. But for some reason, it's found its way into semi-offensive category. You know what I mean? It's almost like on that line for them.
Uh-oh.
Of like, you know, like, oh, no, that could mean something bad. But for some reason, cunt is fine. Yeah, you say cunt in Britain and everyone's like, yeah, okay, yeah. Don't be a cunt. Yeah. Here you say cunt, people like... They shut down. They're like, oh my God.
People stop doing what language? They're doing. And yeah, exactly. That's like the most offensive thing you can say.
In here, we pour whiskey.
Whiskey Ginger fans, if you like listening to tunes like the old Ginge does, do yourself a favor and pick up some Raycon earbuds. They are so dope. Bluetooth wireless earbuds for a fraction of the cost of these rip-off, expensive, nonsense, name brand only earbuds. Raycon offers incredible sound at a very good price. A lot of celebrities have vouched for that, including many musicians and athletes have said that they use them when they're working out. Snoop Dio Double Jizzle is a big endorser of this product. And you know he got good ears. You know he could hear well, making some of the greatest music of our history. He promotes it. He loves it. I like to listen to some tunes when I'm running and when I'm working out. And I love a little pair of wireless Bluetooth earbuds because I don't like big strappy on the head studio headphones when I'm working out. It's distracting, it's heavy, it's annoying, and they get sweaty and gross. These are perfect. They're nice and discreet. They fit right in your ear holes. And Raycon offers them for a fraction of the cost of what you're going to pay for these other stupid overpriced earbuds on the market right now. Now's the time to go ahead and get the latest and greatest from Raycon. You can get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/whiskey. That's buyraycon.com/whiskey for 50% off Raycon wireless earbuds. Buyraycon.com/whiskey.
Ginger. I like gingers.
I never understood, and also, for the first time, I learned why a fanny pack was called a fanny pack, because I was always like, why do we call it a fanny? Because a fanny in America is your ass, but a fanny in Britain is a pussy, is your front, and the fanny pack goes on your front.
Oh.
You never knew that either, huh? Yeah.
It's like a weird fupa.
A fanny. Yeah, a fanny is a pussy. No, a fanny is it's another word for a pussy. And we say fanny is a butt. Okay. Like, you sit on your fanny.
Yeah.
But fanny pack always comes in the front, so that's why it's called a fanny pack, because it goes right over your fanny. But also, it could be because... if you have a big pussy, you might sit on your fanny and your pussy. You never know. The whole thing might be a fanny. British people are really, they have such a great sense of humor about dark, weird, gross stuff. They don't care the way that we do. Like, we have this, Americans are scared of being gross or dirty, and it's like naughty. But over there, it's like it's not a big deal.
Yeah, I remember like going to Europe as a child and seeing like boobs on magazine covers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my parents are like, they're like cooler with sex here. It's like just a normal thing. Like, it's in TV and magazine. Yeah. Like, nudity is just on, like, kids can see it. It's not like once you're 18, you can see some boobies. That sort of thing. It's like, boobs are real. And they're just like, they're on people's chests and
it's a thing.
You can see them. You can suck on them if you want. You sucked on them.
You can just go up to anybody and suck on them. You're allowed in Britain. This is a rule in the UK. If someone has very nice tits, you could go right up there and suck on them.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's a street rule.
You can drink outside. You can suck boobs.
Yep. You can suck tits and drink outside. Mm-hmm. That's their advertisement. Yeah. Come to Great Britain. You can drink outside and you can suck tits. So that's the British Tourism Board. I didn't know you lived in Australia. Where did you live? In Sydney? You did, didn't you?
Yeah, what does that mean?
Cause Sydney's the place where any tourist would go live. Are you going to go to Brisbane? Are you living anywhere else? Where would Americans go to live, really?
Well, we went to Melbourne and we lived there. We didn't live there. We were there for like a couple weeks and that was amazing. It's like,
yeah,
I don't know, Melbourne. You've been in Melbourne, right? Melbourne.
If you say Melbourne, they get mad. It's Melbourne.
Melbourne.
I get it. I understand we're supposed to say it the right way, but it's spelled Melbourne. So Melbourne, but I can't say Melbourne because it's not spelled M-E-L-B-I-N.
But it's like weird to make us say it in their accent, isn't it?
That's very interesting. Yeah, that's very funny. Like I have to say, well, it's also when you go to Britain, it's the same thing. If it's like, I remember my buddy used to live off of the tube stop. It's Gloucester, right? Is how you pronounce it. Gloucester Road, but it's spelled Gloucester.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Gloucester. But they would go Gloucester. But I'm like, no, it's Gloucester.
Yeah,
it's,
you're like, isn't it offensive if I say this briefly in your accent and then switch back to mine? Like, wouldn't you rather just me stick to my own shit, like, as a respect thing?
Right, I get, if I had like a thick Chicago accent, like people, like my friends back home, I could just hear them trying to do that, being like, yeah, we took the tube over there. We were headed uptown on the other side of Soho, and we got off at Gloucester Road, and then we made our way to the KFC. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, to change for them is such a weird thing to do that you feel like an asshole.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. When I say Melbourne, it makes me feel like an ass, but when I say Melbourne, it's like that's what I would say.
But they're going to give you shit either way.
Yeah,
it's a lose-lose. Yeah.
Ah, you cunt. Melbourne, you cunt.
He's an American cunt. Yeah. He's an American cunt. Yeah. So when you lived down in Sydney, what was the main goal? Just to surf and party and try to figure out if there was any worth in you staying and developing apps down there? Were you going to try to live there? Yeah.
Yeah, I had never traveled. I had never been anywhere because, you know, in college, a lot of people go abroad. It's like, you know, thing you do junior year, you go abroad.
Yeah.
And you go to Germany or Italy or whatever. At least, like, that's what all my friends did. And so...
Germany? Who went to Germany? That's a weird one. Germany's
Berlin.
Weird pick.
Berlin's weird. Like a pretty big, like... Yeah. They have some, crazy stories.
Berlin is dope, but I wouldn't want to go. That's not... Of all the European... study abroads, I think Berlin would be like my last on my list of Western Europe places.
Yeah. Yeah, it was weird. When
like
we did
Barcelona.
Barcelona, yeah, that's a great place.
So
I mean,
dope.
We did a show in Germany. It was really like the audience was like very like stoic. German people like very like.
Yes,
like,
dude. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Didn't...
You've read it. You know history about what they're all about, right? You know these guys, these German guys.
What, the German
guys? Yeah, their whole history is stoic and stiff, and I mean their sense of humor is it's just so like carefully crafted and small, and they don't want to. I think after years of getting shit for being German people now they don't want to offend anybody.
Yeah,
they want to be nice and safe.
Yeah,
they don't have the luxury of being loose about you. If you go down there and you joke about like any Nazi shit, it's a big deal.
Oh
like,
yeah,
they,
yeah,
they
you
will
can't do that.
Well, that's what's fucked is like the rest of the world tends to try to joke about their negative history because you don't have a choice.
Yeah.
But theirs is so fucking bad.
Yeah.
That if you make an off-color Nazi joke, I mean, it's like a cultural whiplash that everyone hates that. They get so angry. They're like, that's not who we are. It's like, well, you have to joke about who you were. And, you know, like that's like, it's never going to go away.
Yeah.
You can't just pretend like it never happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Germans are, they're nice people. They're crazy. There's a lot of stiffness.
We would be like, we weren't even making, you know, Nazi jokes or anything like that. But like, in the middle of the show, it's like, are you guys even enjoying this? I'm like, yeah, we're in very much so.
Well, we loved it
like,
very
well,
much.
You can like, express yourself.
This is a great show. Yes, I love, the Tiny Meat Gang is great. They are like the best
gang.
Of the performance.
Yeah,
we love you. We love you. They don't smile. No, they're good people. They have this different, the culture, the reception of humor in their culture is significantly different than ours.
Yeah.
They're very like, you know, whatever. But anyway, yeah.
Great city though. But anyways, yeah. So
great.
I never traveled in college because of diving. Couldn't do it. And so basically after I graduated and I just started working right away, I'd say, you know, once I worked for 2 years, I saved up some money. I was sick of my job. I was kind of like, now seems like the time. I was 23. I was like, now seems like the time to to do this and to just like see the world. I'd never been. So I was like, I got to see what it's like to like at least live in another place. I moved from Calgary to North Carolina to go to school. And that was a big culture shock for me. But like once I got used to American culture and, you know, like weird frat culture on the East Coast and then tech culture on the West Coast, I was like, it's time to see something different. And so living in Australia was cool. It was fun. My buddy and I, we were just there working on basically like teaching ourselves how to we had been working as software engineers for a couple of years, but like we didn't know, we wanted to be full stack, which means your front end, your back end, it makes it easier to find a job. Basically you write web apps, you can write iPhone apps, you could write, you know, server stuff. And so we were teaching ourselves how to do that by coming up with web services. We had one called Hey, and it was a greeting card service. So you could go online and for $5, you could send a greeting card anywhere in the world that said, hey. And then when you open it, it said, fuck you in like small, American typewriter font.
Right.
And then we made it, you know, we took that and it was actually pretty popular. It got like a whole bunch of sales. We could promote it with our Vine audience that we had.
Right.
And so we took that and we made the phrases be like, you know, have a decent Mother's Day or like hottest mom or like whatever, you know?
Right.
And so it kind of became this big, like interesting greeting card service that people were using to send joke cards for like every occasion. Like, you know, have a decent wedding. Hope you don't get divorced, you know, shit like that. Like just simple phrases that were short and funny.
Right. Who's your buddy that went with you? Who was that?
It's the guy who made...
Is he someone that you're with now or no? Do you hang with him now?
He's the CTO of Cameo. He started Cameo.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that guy.
Wild. Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
So... Yeah,
did you get a piece of that? You got some Cameo money coming in?
Did I get a piece of that? What does that mean?
Yeah. You say, hey, man, cut me in on a fucking Cameo deal. Part of it was my idea because we know that it was your idea. What's his name? What's that guy's name?
Devin.
And everybody knows, Devin, if you're listening, it was Cody's idea. Cameo was Cody's idea. We know it. He knows it.
What can I say,
give him
man?
A cut.
Five,
you developed it together.
5-10%. That's all I'm asking.
Come on, dog.
That's it. A little slice of the pie.
So he developed that while he was in... Did he develop that in Australia or when he got back to the States?
No, we got back... When we got back, we lived together for a few years. And it was like... I got a job working for this startup in Santa Monica. He was working for a startup. And then another one of my friends from Duke and another guy, they came to him and they had like concocted this idea basically. And so they all started working on it together at our apartment in like where we were living before. And it became this like giant thing out of nowhere. It was pretty crazy. They launched it. I was the first person on it, or one of the first. It's first or second.
Are you
or something
still on
like
it?
That.
Are you still on
it? I am. Yeah, I am.
What do you charge, bro? Be honest. Be honest.
I don't want to say.
Well, they can
I
look
feel
it
like
up.
A dick saying that, saying it. Saying
no,
they can
well,
look it up.
It's
yeah,
on
that's
the,
true.
Yeah, it's on the internet. What
is
it?
It is. Yeah, it's $199.
So it's because I don't. Why do you do a $199? I've seen that on there. People do like $89. Why not $90? I don't understand. Why not like $200? Why?
Well, because I don't know. Why does like Walmart and Target do that? I don't know. It's like to compel people to buy it at a certain price without making it that price.
I think they also do it because of purposes that with sales tax it ends up going over. So they do that to entice buyers that it's below the number they thought it was going to be, but they end up going over with sales tax anyway. You don't include sales tax.
No.
Yeah. So I'm just.
I'm telling you what you're doing
is wrong. It's wrong.
It's fraud. It's fraud. Actually.
It's fraud. Just do 200. Just do 200 and get over it. Will you do a cameo for me right now for free? Will you do one for free right now for me?
Yeah, if you sign up for my OnlyFans.
Here, I already. I'm actually a Super Code fan. I'm a Super Cody fan. If you look, my name is. I'm the top one on there. It's called.
That's what we call. That's what I call you guys. The Super Codes.
The Supercoats. I'm a Supercoat fan, as you know. I thought about the Cameo world. They reached out to me, and I think when I first came around, I was gonna mess with them, and then I didn't do it because I already have enough fans that masturbate to my videos like this. Like this is getting jerked off to by at least a dozen people. Seriously, every time I do a podcast, I get people that I go, "Hey man, I jerk off to your videos," and I'm like, "What videos?" And they're like. Anything on YouTube, mostly Whiskey Ginger. And this one will get a lot more because of you. There's a lot more dudes that'll be pulling on their steamboat because of you. And
so right now, say, you think dudes are jerking off right now?
Yeah. There's literally no doubt in my mind. Yeah. Okay. So can you look right in the camera and say, "Go ahead and come right now"?
Yeah. Go ahead and come. It's cool. It's all good. Yeah. There, I hope
your
that
words
helps.
Of like,
I hope that helps.
Subtle encouragement. Go ahead and come. It's cool, man.
Go ahead and come.
To imagine
it's
that
all good. No,
some guy
ahead.
Might get off, or some
good.
Guy might be like, "Oh, fuck yeah, Cody." That's all I
so
needed.
So it didn't interest
bro.
You, huh? Cameo wasn't.
No,
I know.
No, it's not that
Chris D'Elia made his like $50,000 or some shit, and they thought that was pretty funny.
Well, look, I mean, I just feel like I talk to people on this a lot and I have a lot of fan interaction. And then with that, I knew you're not going to be good at something. I knew I wouldn't be good at those because I would feel, I don't know. There's things I just like people are doing a lot of lives or people are doing digital stand-up shows right now. And as a comedian, nothing in like everything inside of me wants to do a show more than anything. But I just can't do a live online show because it's not, I know I wouldn't like it or be good at it. And I would project that. You know what I mean? Like, I know in a cameo, I would project my discontent for it because I don't really want to do it. Like, something about it doesn't interest me. So it'd be disingenuous. I'd be doing videos that are like, "Hey, happy birthday, Mike." And I'd be annoyed at myself because I don't like the way I sound on it. You know what I mean? It'd be this self-conscious loop.
Yeah.
But anyway, I might do it. And if I do it, I would charge more than you. I'm going to do $201. I'm going to do $201 if I do end up going to it.
That's for the sales tax, though.
Yeah. We do include sales. I would do sales tax on Cameo. Right. I'd write $201 plus $595. Have you ever bought one of those things off TV, like a late night TV ad for like $9.99, and you get two more thrown in? Have you ever bought bullshit
off an infomercial?
Yeah.
Wasn't the Magic Bullet? Wasn't that infomercial?
Yeah, it was.
Magic Bullet.
Yeah, I've started to become okay with buying some stuff off there because I think it's more fun than anything else. As Seen on TV shit is great, man.
Oh yeah, like Sky Mall shit.
Love it. I think it's the best. Because it's bullshit and you know it, but at least it's fun to get. It's like, fun to try.
I totally agree. Like goggles with a, you know, head massager built into the thing. You know, stuff like that.
I'm buying
two.
Run it up.
Yeah.
Buying two.
Run it.
Put it on the card. Mm-hmm. Actually, speaking of which, they took away Sky Malls. I was reading, you know, comics have been calling me. We've been talking about, are we going to start flying? Are we going to start touring? And airplanes are putting out all these, you know, YouTube videos and emails to frequent flyers being like, "Hey, we're sanitizing every seat after every flight. We're putting in like these special updated HEPA filters that like they cycle every day. We have to put it, you know," trying to give people some sort of solace in trying to fly again. And they've said that they're removing the Sky Mall magazines. They're removing all those like pamphlets, you know, the instruction.
Oh, no way.
They want to get rid of all that stuff because it's more shit to touch and to, you know, but also, because that's unnecessary. If the plane's going down, I'm not reading a pamphlet. I'm panicking just like everybody else, and I'm screaming, and we're dead. I'm not going to look at the instruction. You know, no one's going to be on the way down looking to find out.
Yeah. Okay,
it's
so
under
wait.
Your
oh, wait.
Seat.
Okay, so help myself before I help other. Okay, got that one.
By the way, I love how they say help yourself before you help a child or someone else. If I'm on the flight with my kid, I'm not helping my kid. If he doesn't figure it out, that's it. That's on him. I'm not helping my kid. You're figuring it out.
Let alone someone else's fucking kid.
No, I'm not helping anybody
else.
Yeah, I'm
not. Oh, no, please. You.
You
first. Guess before. Yeah, no.
I'm stepping over bodies, dude.
I'm taking that last
over
parachute, dude.
Yeah, I'm stepping right over bodies.
Yeah.
I'm taking the last, but there is no parachute. You know that, right?
Yeah, I bring mine. I bring one. Every
you
flight.
Do? Is that your overhead? That's in your overhead?
Yeah. It's a paranoia type thing, but it's just, you know, just in case.
How funny would it be if a plane was going down and you just strapped on a parachute, but you just can't get out anyway, so you die with the parachute on? And they're like, "Right idea, wrong execution."
I deploy
He's
it in the
guy.
Plane. People are
Is
getting
he a parachute?
Tangled in it.
This is exponentially worse.
So much worse.
This is way worse. So wait though, we talked before, you developed an app that did really well, right? Didn't you do something that did very well?
Yeah. So my senior year, So I went to school for computer science. That was my degree.
Yeah, you're a genius.
And no, not at all. I was so dumb. No, I
don't be coy. You're very smart, dude. No computer engineers are dumb. That's a fact.
But I'm telling you, I got good at computer science after I graduated. Like after this whole thing, after when I started working, I feel like that's when you actually get good at something is when you're doing it or trying to do it for money. In college, yeah, I was a piece of shit. Sense. I took biology of dinosaurs my freshman year. It was a class specifically for athletes.
Hell yeah, dude.
So that they could pass it and get a credit so that they could stay on the team. It's for the basketball players and the football players or whatever.
Did anybody fail?
I got a D. All you had to do is memorize dinosaur fucking names. It's like a class for four-year-olds. I got a fucking D. I was the only person in the class. I got a D.
So sad. That's so sad.
Yeah. What was I? Oh, yeah. Okay. So I studied computer science and senior year. All my friends were interviewing for jobs and some, you know, like start of the senior year, it's like all your overachiever friends like already have jobs lined up from internships that they've done, you know, after their freshman, sophomore years, they're working for these right. tech companies and whatever. So my one friend, like, you know, he had a giant job lined up at Microsoft and, you know, another one was like another big company. I was stressing because I didn't have anything. I just... Summers would come and I would fuck off back to Canada and go to the lake and whatever. And I didn't do a single internship and I wasn't like just ready for interviews, nothing. And so I got really right. nervous and I had a competition schedule too. It was like intense senior year. So I couldn't like take time off to do like the career days or whatever. So my goal was, okay, I'll write an app to teach myself how to program iPhone apps. Cause at that point I only knew like Java and something else. And maybe that'll be like a skill that I can sell myself after I graduate. I can try to move to the West Coast and see if a company will take me as a junior iPhone engineer. And so I wrote this app that was like it basically would put. There was an app that did something similar, but it was paid. You had to pay $2 for it or something like that. And I thought it was a great concept, but the captions could be funnier, and I could do it for free. And so I wrote this app that basically was like a meme app. You would upload a picture that you took of whatever, like something from your camera roll, and it would put a random caption on it and would say, it was always like really crude. It would say like, fanny or, you know, cunt or whatever.
Right.
Or like takes dick or like cokehead or like some random shit like that. And they were always like general enough to where it applied to every picture. So people ended up thinking there was like some weird AI that I had built in it that would read the picture right. and put a caption specific to the picture. And so it was that and a combo of the fact that it was super dirty. Like I gamed the review system. Apple has to review every app that they let into the store. And so they reject anything that has crude words or whatever. So I wrote a database that was a timed database. So it would release all the dirty captions after Apple reviewed it. And so it went crazy viral because people were like, we've never seen an app with the word fuck in it. And so it went totally viral and it went to number one in the App Store at a time where the top 10 apps in the App Store were like Google, eBay, like all these companies that were spending thousands on marketing to get there. And mine went to number one just off viral nature.
Because you could write cunt and fanny and fuck you
exactly.
on
exactly, yeah, because the word fanny.
What was the name? What was the name?
It was called I'd Cap That.
I'd Cap That. Is it still around or no?
I think it is. I think it's still in the App Store. I don't know. So what happened I ended up selling it.
I'm looking right now.
Yeah. I think it's still there.
You sold it to who? Who?
So it was a company in Silicon Valley that was like a mobile ad company. Like they would... They basically were like the reason why sometimes when you're playing games, you get like a pop-up ad that's, you know, advertising some gambling game or something like that. It is still there. Look at that.
Well, it's I'd Cap That.
I don't know
that,
if it's changed or.
Well, there's also I'd Cap That too.
That was my first job when I got to this company. So basically they acquired the app because they wanted to drive traffic through their ad network. And they gave me a job in the process. And my first job after was to create I'd Cap That too. The sequel. This time it's personal.
Wow.
And
this time it's personal.
Yeah.
The first review is this app is created by the one and only, and it says Corey Co.
Good.
And
okay.
It's a, yeah. It's amazing. It's completely frictionless, and it's very creative. I love the way he creates captions for this app.
Yep.
Considering he's also a DJ and a volleyball player, this is very impressive.
That's my legacy.
I like how someone's got your bio lined up. My favorite is that there's always somebody who's got like a critical review of an app. You know, like,
yeah.
Who takes the time? Who's this guy? Who's William who says, no one likes this. This isn't good. Who's that guy? Who's the guy?
Not a big fan of this interface.
Yeah, everyone claims this app is frictionless. I gotta disagree. Too much friction. Not cool or intelligent. Like, who the fuck? Who does that? These are the same people. You know who this is?
What?
The Yelp community, people who go on Yelp and they rate a review of a restaurant that it's not that the food was bad. They rated something like the valet experience.
Or
the bathroom ran out of paper towels.
Yeah.
That guy's a fucking piece of shit and he should be burned in the town square. You'll see a one star in a restaurant and it won't say my chicken was undercooked and the whatever was bad. They'll literally go, the valet took forever to get my car back and I couldn't stand it. So the food was fine. They'll always write that. They'll go, I had no problem with the food. It was actually kind of good. But I got to tell you, the bartender had a little bit of an attitude. So that one star a fucking restaurant that they actually enjoyed the meal at, that guy deserves to be shot and burned in front of everyone.
Because what are they?
And tell people.
What are they expecting? Are they expecting people to read that and be like, oh, hon, we can't go here. The valet's not.
We can't go. The valet's slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got, no, fuck that place. That always made me mad. And then what makes me even more mad is reading the sad owner or manager that has to manage the reviews and go, hey, I'm the proprietor and I just want to let you know we're disappointed in that and we apologize for that. And, and they're being earnest, right? They're trying to say, sorry, man, but also, why did you give us one star? That fucks up our business on the internet, because it's all kind of, people don't understand, even though Yelp is bullshit, it still does equate to search engine driven traffic, to analytic traffic of like how people search stuff. It's what happens. So the proprietor says, sorry that happened to you, you know, I hope we can fix it. And next time you come in, please see me directly, da 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 da. And they do something nice like that, reach out, and the person will still say, I have no intention on coming back. Your restaurant just doesn't know how to handle valet traffic. It's like, fuck that guy. Fuck that guy. You know what I mean? The guy tried to be nice and you're still an asshole. Fuck you. Fuck all those people that do that.
Yeah.
The only appropriate time to Yelp a restaurant is if the food was so fucking bad and dog shit with a combination of the service being bad or everything's fucked. Everything has to be a toppling of being bad and fucked up for you to even consider. And I still wouldn't, but for to even consider writing a review. I still just would not go. And if somebody said, how is that restaurant? I'd go, yeah, it's not good. We didn't like it. That's the end of it, you know? But I don't
go to restaurants unless the valet is good.
Well,
unless
I don't even valet.
Unless the valet is efficient, you don't even valet.
Yeah, you won't go. You won't go. No, I won't valet. I refuse to. I don't valet. I don't valet. I do not.
Wait, why?
I swear, I never do, because I used to valet in college and I know how we treat the cars. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, dude.
What,
they don't give a fuck about
like
your shit.
Joyride and.
If you did. No, it's not even joyride. It's like if you dinged a car or if you're quickly pulling stuff in and out and like you bumped the thing or whatever, you don't care. It's not your car. You're busy.
Yeah.
And if somebody goes, hey, this scratch wasn't there, you just go, oh, yeah, no, yeah, it was. Or we have a liability contract that everybody sees when they come in on the posted sign that says we're not responsible for lost or stolen items or damage and da 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 da. Nah, they don't give a fuck. I used to valet. We don't care. So I won't. I don't valet. No way, dude. I've gone to a country club, like a nice high end country club, and I'll go, where's the self park? And I'll park myself, and they hate it. They hate it because I'm a guest. I'm supposed to valet. I'll tip the valet. I'll give him money, but I'll just park it myself. I'll go, here's $20. I'm just gonna park my car myself, and they go, all right. And they look at me like I'm an idiot, but I'm like, yeah, this way I don't get any door dings, and there's no.
That's a good.
I don't have. Yeah,
that's a good little restaurant.
I still give him money.
That's a good little like restaurant secret. Yeah. There, like, didn't Anthony Bourdain say like never eat mussels at a restaurant ever or something like that?
Yeah,
because they're always bad or they're always 2 days old or whatever. And he said never eat at a place where the bathrooms aren't clean, because that shows how serious they take like hygiene. Yeah, that's, you know, and
that's one thing that they could do that's easy. By the way, mussels, and I love mussels. I had mussels in San Francisco, which you think, like, of all places, like, I should be San Francisco, man. It's like seafood heaven in the Bay Area, you know? I got so fucking sick from mussels in San Francisco, I almost couldn't do a show that night. I was, my, dude, grumbly tummy,
grumbly tumblies.
Grumbly tumblies, bro. I almost had the shitsky doodles on stage. It was the worst. My stomach hurt so bad. Yeah, Bourdain's right. Don't eat fucking mussels. The rule is, don't eat mussels unless it is from a super high-end seafood place.
Yeah.
And they just do those things. Don't eat mussels from like a Italian restaurant that also has mussels. Yeah.
Mussels generally are cool though. Like, I have a ton of them on my body. And
to be very honest with you, you're a liar. You don't. And I've seen it. I've been on your OnlyFans, and what you lack in muscle mass, you make up for in hair and teeth, but you just don't have the muscles that you should. Your lack of muscles it's actually impressive. Your muscles go in where they should pop out. It's like an invert.
I know. I forgot you're a super code. I was trying to convince them, dude, that I have the what's under this is nice, but you know the truth.
It's not. That's why you're wearing a sweater and it's 82 degrees outside, because everything underneath is there's nothing there.
I'm wearing two sweaters. There's another hoodie underneath this one. I like to.
Dude, by the way, how are you wearing a hoodie right now? Isn't it hot? It's hot as fuck.
I have my AC set
to
61.
Oh, rich guy. Yeah. Someone can afford that, dude.
Yeah, I like to just keep it way too cold in here.
Yeah, keep it real. Yeah, well, it's because I'm the same way, though, that I'm like, I try to keep it too cold in the house. And my old bag hates it because women are always cold. So she'll go, it's too cold in here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but otherwise it's better than when it's 78. It's too hot. I just can't have stagnant hot air.
Yeah.
It's got to be cold for me at night to go to bed.
Same.
It's got to be freezing cold.
Same.
Freezing cold.
I got one of these weighted blankets, the gravity blankets.
Love.
Oh,
dude,
my
love.
God, dude. The night that now I'm used to it, but the night that I got it, I haven't had that good of a sleep in years.
It's amazing.
It's
weird, right?
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, super weird.
You think it's not going to work that well? Like, you, in your mind, you're like, how could this be any different than everything I've ever tried?
Yeah.
It does.
It works. It's magic. It really is. One of those things that's just, it's worth it. There's another, my buddy got an Uller. You ever heard of this? An Uller? Yeah, it's like a layer that you put in between your like sheets and your mattress. And it's like cools your whole bed with, and you can set the specific temperature and it cools right to that temperature, and you can set it like for different sides of the bed and stuff. Apparently it's like a life changer.
No, I have heard about it. I mean, if you have, it depends on what money category you're in. Like, you know, I am a multi billionaire,
mm-hmm.
and I have very, very heavy specifications on my sleep. Baby arms and baby legs, you know, baby, like squishy baby arms. I have babies that have been removed of their limbs. My bed is made of baby arms and baby legs that are preserved. It's so squishy. Look, if you have the cash, if you have the cream,
is that not illegal?
Then you can do it. What's the law? Who's going to come get me?
Yeah.
Do you work for the cops? Are you a cop?
I look like one.
Yeah, but if you don't, you're not going to come. Who's going to get me?
By the way,
jokes aside, I thought about that the other day. I was like, what cop is working overtime during the pandemic?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like this is a great time to be a criminal.
Because
even cops are like, I'm not going over there. It's fucking, no, I don't want to get sick.
Yeah,
no.
They could have it. They could have the thing.
It's a TV. It's a TV.
Let you off with a warning.
Yeah, hey, put it down. That's what British cops do.
No.
They don't have guns. You know, they go, hey, put it down, please, put it back,
yeah,
please.
Yeah. No.
Well, no. Well, listen, dude, I really appreciate you. You are a wonderful dude. I'm happy to be a super code. Everyone should follow everything that you're doing because you're incredible. The Tiny Meat Gang is very entertaining. You're a very funny dude. I'll link everything in the description so people can follow you and your OnlyFans and your Cameo. And we end the episode with one word or one phrase. I'm going to get off camera. You're going to say it into the camera when I'm away. One word or one phrase. Go ahead.
Just anything?
Yeah.
Vegan.
In here,
We pour whiskey, 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 whiskey.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.